Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we're in Judges chapter 2. Chapter 2 begins with an angel or messenger speaking to the Israelites. Specifically, it's the angel of the Lord, which is a term reserved for God himself. Verse 1 says, "The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, 'I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land I swore to give your ancestors. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? And I have also said, I will not drive them out before you. They will become traps for you, and their gods will become snares to you.'" When the angel of the Lord had spoken these things to all the Israelites, the people wept aloud, and they called the place Bochim. But there they offered sacrifices to the Lord. Then in verse 6 through 23, we're given a summary of the entire book. It's a spoiler alert telling you that even though they had Moses leading them, watched their parents drop dead in the wilderness, were given a second chance and a fresh start, had Joshua leading them, watched God win impossible battles, experienced defeat every time they disobeyed, and now have angels talking to them for course correction, that they still decide to disobey. There's one thing you can say for the Bible. Human beings don't come out of it very well. In fact, the Bible pretty much knows and declares that we're all a bunch of knuckleheads. And that's because we're short-sighted. Have you ever watched somebody die from years of smoking? I have. It's not pretty. In fact, people think you just cough up a bunch of lung before you die, but that's not the case. You struggle for breath because you're constantly drowning, and because as your lungs fill up with that fluid and there's no place else for it to go, it starts backing up into your body. Your skin and tissue stretch so that you're in excruciating pain while you're struggling to breathe and drowning in your own fluids. This can go on for months and even years. There's also quite a decline leading up to this, but never mind that. People want to smoke. They're aware of the consequences and the threat of both psychological and physical addiction, but they still start anyways. The short-sightedness of human beings means that we often choose to see only what is 2 feet in front of our face and neglect to think about consequences. You see, a short-sighted person can only see what's directly in front of them. They lose the ability to take the long view of things, to see the consequences that stretch out into their future. So, what does that mean for us? It's easy for us to pontificate about why people do what they want, but, you know, we're kind of the same. I may not smoke, but let's not be too hard on the smokers. I like to sin, and so do you. And for that matter, sin is even more dangerous than smoking. Just a quick glance at Judges chapter 1 and 2 tells me that the Israelites kind of like sinning as much as I do. But let's start with the angel's visit. How did he speak with them? Well, first off, he spoke to him directly. There was no successor to Joshua. I'm guessing this was during a Passover when they were all gathered around the Ark of the Covenant, and God spoke out from its presence. Then the angel of the Lord went from Gilgal and to Bochim and said, "I brought you up out of Egypt, and I gave you the land I swore to your ancestors." He first tells them about everything that he did for them. Then he tells them, "I warned you of the consequences, and you're already experiencing every single one of them." Well, the response was that the people actually wept. But crying or being sad about something is not the same as repentance. You see, I can be sorry if I started smoking, but it doesn't mean I quit. The Israelites had a pretty radical eye problem. It tells us that they did what was evil in verse 11 in the eyes of the Lord. And then the common refrain, as we said before, was that they did what was right in their own eyes. That is the epitome of short-sightedness. Verse 10 to 23 is actually a commentary, a summary on the entire book of Judges. So let's hear what it has to say about itself and see what we can decipher from the pattern. Verse 10, after the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, that means dying, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. They quickly turned from the ways of their ancestors who had been obedient to the Lord's commands. And whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived, for the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to their ways, even more corrupt than those of their ancestors, following other gods and serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and said, "Because this nation has violated the covenant I ordained for their ancestors and has not listened to me, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations Joshua left when he died. I will use them to test Israel and see whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk in it as their ancestors did." The Lord had allowed those nations to remain. He did not drive them out at once by giving them into the hand of Joshua. And this passage actually tells us why. It was to test to see if they would take these challenges and trust God as the generation before them did. But of course, we know how the story ends. And spoiler alert, Judges chapter 2 tells us it's not going to go very well. In fact, if you notice that verse, it said they did worse than the generation before them. Keep in mind that Judges is a circling down the drain. We're watching the people of God get flushed over and over and over. Think of the judge as kind of like a plunger who comes in and actually fixes the problem for a little bit. But there's a big clog way, way, way down the pipe. And that doesn't get fixed till much later. If you've ever called a plumber, you pretty much know what the plumber might say if you keep calling him out. Eventually, he'll say, "You know, you have a systemic problem in your plumbing. I think you're going to need to bring a bobcat into that yard, dig up that old, denigrated, disintegrated pipe, and actually replace it if you don't want to keep calling me. You can either spend the money here and now and get the work done, or you can keep calling me back and basically pilfer it away on quick fixes." As a sneak peek to the end of the book, we're left knowing that something needs to change, and Judges keeps teasing out the arrival of a future king. Of course, for them, it'll be Saul and eventually David and Solomon and all the others. But the king that it's really teasing out is the king who comes and brings the new covenant, the one that he himself fulfills, because it's impossible for us to keep the old one. So as you read Judges, I want you to keep in mind that God already knew what they were going to do. It's more us that needs to know our inability and failure and our need ultimately for the King of Kings, the one who earns our place and obeys the covenant perfectly for us. Well, read Judges chapter 2 today, and as you do, cry out for that future king.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.